Gotta love getting delayed at airports.
You are Locked On Fantasy Basketball, your daily fantasy basketball podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Fantasy Basketball podcast brought to you by Basketball Monster. My name is Josh Lloyd and I am the lead fantasy analyst at basketballmonster.com, and you can find me on Twitter as always at redrock_bball. We had 7 games on Monday, so I'm going to talk about all that action, a few interesting performances, some big waiver wire standouts as well who could be available in your leagues, and then previewing the 6 games for Tuesday for DFS. Michael Bolton.
Let's get to it indeed.
We will start where we always do on this show, and that is
Monstrous Line of the Night.
The Monstrous Line of the Night is also the Waiver Wire Line of the Night.
Waiver wire line of
the
night.
And it is Patrick Beverley of the LA Clippers. 36 minutes for Bev, 13 points with 3 triples, 9 rebounds, 4 assists, and 5 steals. 50% from the field and hit both of his free throws. He's pretty tough to leave on any waiver wire. A top 70 player over the last 2 months, averaging 31 minutes a night. Not going to get you much more, many points. I think that's the right word in English. 8.3 points over that time frame, but 7 rebounds, 1.5 triples, 4 assists, a block, and 1.2 steals. Really helping in those lower volume categories, almost a triple one guy, which as a point guard and as Patrick Beverley is pretty surprising to see those blocks as high as they are. Top 50 guy over the last 2 weeks, really putting together strong performances, and I don't think we can really leave Beverley on the wire, except the Clippers have one more game this week, and it's on Friday. So if you are in the playoffs, adding him now, which again, he should be rostered, but you're foregoing a roster spot for active games on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Tuesday, Thursday are low volume days where you could be streaming players in. And on Friday, it's a relatively high volume day, so you may not even use Beverley. So you really got to pay attention to that if you're looking to add him, because on the surface, yeah, a top 50 guy, how do I go past that? And maybe he does work on your team and he then becomes one of your best 7 guys, but you wouldn't have left him on the waiver wire that long. So it's a delicate balancing act. If you've got a first round bye, if you've got a couple of weeks to go to the playoffs and you're locked in, then you add Beverley. But for this week, it's obviously not a great situation. You started next week, the Clippers start off with a Monday, Tuesday back-to-back. So that's obviously fantastic for that week to have Beverley there. And they play 4 games for that whole week. But for this week, it's not a great situation. So you do have to weigh that up. It's not a blind add. It really does depend on how your squad looks at the moment. The deep leaguer of the night is 58-year-old Vince Carter of the Atlanta Hawks. 26 minutes for Carter with John Collins out, Amari Spellman out, and Alex Len struggling. He had 21 points, all of those coming from beyond the arc. So 7 triples, 4 rebounds, 1 assist, and a steal. 50% shooting for Carter as well. He's playing 21 minutes a night over the last 7. Some really big minute performances from him. 45 minutes in the triple overtime game against the Bulls. 27 against the Timberwolves. 26 here today. And that is 3 double-figure scoring games for Carter in his last 4 performances. I'm not saying that he's a 12-team league guy, because he isn't. He probably isn't a 14-team league guy. But he's providing, with this injury to Spellman, some interesting minutes as a 3-point streamer, say for 14 or 16-team leagues, probably more 16. And he's only rostered in 1% of Yahoo League. So he's around, and just because he is old, and when we do laugh a bit at how Carter is playing this well at this age, and it is absolutely astonishing that he is doing what he is doing at this age of 42. But at the moment, the opportunity is being given to Vince Carter, and we are seeing pretty solid production out of him. So short term, you're looking for some points and threes. He is a guy that amazingly is providing that value for us. Let's go on to the next award of the day.
Young Gun of the Night.
This one goes to Dennis Smith Jr. of the New York Knicks. 29 minutes for Smitty here. 18-3-5. The defense really brought it for him, though. 3 steals, 2 blocks, hit 2 triples, and was at 47% from the field. strong numbers from Smith in this one. Of course, the constant dicking around by Fizdale with his minutes and the play of Emmanuel Mudiay, also the playing of Emmanuel Mudiay, has limited what Smith has been doing. In a 10-team league, I wouldn't say that he's a must-roster guy. He's very, very up and down with how these minutes are going. But in a 12-team league, I would want to have Smith on my roster with just how well he is playing when he's given that opportunity. Of course, getting that opportunity consistently is always going to be the concern for Smith, and with Fizdale running things. He's the 93rd ranked player over the last 2 weeks in only 26 minutes a night, averaging 13, 2, and 7 with 1.7 steals. The free throws are an issue, 62% from the line in that time frame, and only 64% from the line over the course of the season. But this was an encouraging performance. That means he probably only plays 23 minutes next game, or 25 minutes. The frustration with the Fizdale rotations manifests in many different ways every single game the Knicks play, and Smith can be a regular victim to that. But for now, you know, he's worth taking flyers on, at least on those opportunities in those shallower formats, and anything deeper than 12 is a must roster. And 12s, I still would have him in most of those, but there is that inherent risk with anything to do with Fizdale and rotations. I tell a man's not hot. A former Fizdale player gets the dud of the night. Timmy Hardaway of the Dallas Mavericks. Only 25 minutes for Hardaway as the Mavericks got absolutely smacked by the Brooklyn Nets. 7 points with 4 rebounds on 3 of 11 shooting for Tim Hardaway. He has really, really struggled, and he is not a must-roster guy anymore. Over the last 2 months, he is the 200th ranked player. 15 points on 38% shooting. The minutes are down, the usage is down, the shooting isn't recovering. There is no way that you have to consider him a must-roster guy at this point. You need to be just moving on from players. And look, if he recovers, by all means, that's great. But the way that things are running in Dallas at the moment, he just isn't getting the playing time that would be required for someone like him to be considered a must-roster guy. And he's just hurting you in too many areas. So 10s and 12s. And to be honest, in a lot of 14-team formats, I think you'd have to look at Hardaway and at least consider him an expendable guy when we're really trying to maximize games and hot players and good matchups and positive scenarios, because at the moment things are absolutely trending in the wrong direction for Tim Hardaway, and he is a drop in a lot of different leagues. The plus-minus goats, Damari Carroll, took advantage of that victory over the Mavericks. He was a plus 90.1, while Paddy Connaughton was shitful for the Bucks in their loss against the Suns, negative 121.8. Carroll's more of that 14-team league streamer. Connaughton is a guy who probably shouldn't even be in the rotation when guys like George Hill and Sterling Brown are back. Let's look at these games now in a bit more detail. There were the 7 of them across the league for Monday. The first game was Dallas and Brooklyn. The Nets win 127-88. Dwight Powell again shows that he's a must-roster player. 32 minutes, 26-6 with 5 triples. Didn't miss, or only missed one shot, and that was from 3, 6 of 7 from the field. An absolute must-roster guy. The minutes are way up. We've been waiting 2 years or 3 years for Powell to be given consistent big minutes like this, and it's finally here. Strong numbers from him. We know that he's been a permanent beast for a long period of time, and I don't think the playing time's really going anywhere. The burner, Jalen Brunson, remained in the starting lineup but only played 20 minutes, had 10 points on 80% shooting. He's a little bit up and down, only had the one assist, more of that stream option for assists in 14 or 16 team leagues. Well, Luka Doncic really struggled with the efficiency, 38 from the field, 25% from the line. Still had a nice, you know, counting stat type of night, but just not his night overall. Hardaway, we talked about already. Dirk was a stinker, going just 2 of 13 from the field. Well, Maxi Kleber did enough to at least pique some interest in 16-team leagues. 2 triples and a block. He's probably fallen out of favor for 12-team formats, though. For the Nets, they made a big shake-up to their lineup. Trevion Graham was out, so Rowdy Rodion's Kurucs started, and he was excellent. 19 points with 5 triples, 6 rebounds, a steal, and a block. Now, I would like to see Kurucs retain that starting spot. You know that I think that he is going to be a really good player in this league. Is he a 12-team league ad? No, he isn't. He's more of a 16-team league ad, and he's considerably better than Rondae Hollis-Jefferson at this point, and I think that he's better than Trevion Graham as well. We don't know whether he will stick in that lineup, but it was a strong performance and a guy to watch for deeper leagues. But the other move they made was replacing Caris LeVert in the starting lineup with the blue swimmer Alan Crabb. It didn't really do anything to their minutes because LeVert still played 27 minutes and Crabb played 26, and LeVert was still the better option with 18, 5, and 5. In fact, this might help him, much like Jeremy Lamb going to the bench helped his role. This might do the same for LeVert. So The 27 minutes is still frustrating for Karras, but don't look at that as a demotion to the bench, making him a must-drop guy. If you worry about some of his production, which you should be because it hadn't been great up until this game, then maybe you consider him a drop. But this was actually an encouraging step for Karras. Only 20 minutes for Dinwiddie, but 16, 2, and 5 were strong, while D'Angelo Russell played only the 22 minutes, 13, 2, and 11. But it's hard to read a huge amount into this with how big this blowout was. Damari Carroll at 22, 5, and 4 with 5 triples was really, really good in this one. Well, Jarrett Allen, 21 minutes, 8, and 4. Really hard to consider him a must-roster guy at this point. The minutes are just consistently down. We know that he's got that top 50 upside, but again, as I mentioned earlier, when we're looking at, you know, grabbing the hot guy, getting the big production at this time when we're looking at playoff solidification or playoff matchups, you got to sometimes make those hard decisions. And with how things are trending with a full Brooklyn roster, he just isn't playing enough to be considered a must roster player. Next up, we look at the Atlanta Hawks and the Miami Heat. The Heat get the win 114-113. Alex Len made another start, so much for him being this great option. 21 minutes, 2 points on 0 of 6 shooting. Foul trouble limited him. I think when Collins comes back, any ideas that you had of Len being a 12-team guy should have been snuffed out by this. But of course, when Collins comes back, that's going to hurt Alex Len as well and leave him for the deeper leagues. While Kent Bazemore had 18-7-3, which looks nice on the surface. The 31% on 16 attempts isn't great, and the artist formerly known as Taurean Prince, whose partner did have a baby, Amari Nazir Prince, a shout out to you, Taurean, for the birth of your child. He'll be back, and that'll push Bazemore back into a bench role, so not much to see with him. Fanderpants Kevin Huerter, 13 points with 3 triples. I really like what he can do, but he's been limited to like 24 minutes recently, which is frustrating. As a 32, 33 minute a night guy, he would be having 12-team value. As of now, we just move on. While Trae Young, just the 30 minutes, 14, 3, and 8, but still relatively strong. Shout out to The Undertaker as well, Dwayne Dedman, who had 2 triples and 3 steals. For the Heat, Goran Dragic remained out. Hassan Whiteside did return, but he came off the bench, only played 15 minutes. So now, while I am preaching, they've got to make action, you've got to make moves here when playoff time, I'm not dropping Whiteside based on one game coming off the bench. I don't necessarily think it's going to be a long-term situation with Bam starting ahead of him. I think it might be just him returning from that hip injury. But again, you might need to make hard decisions. And even prior to the injury, some of Whiteside's games had left a lot to be desired. As for Adebayo, he only had 9 and 6 in 20 minutes. Even if he's starting, I think it'll be a minute split scenario, making him not a must roster guy. Kelly Olynyk had some foul trouble here. 24 minutes, 12 and 5. I would have him in all 12 team formats at this point with James Johnson, a healthy DMP CD for 2 consecutive games. Justice Winslow, really, really good here. 18, 5 and 3 with 3 steals. He's on a hot streak at the moment, so you ride with that. It could drop off at any point, but really, really strong performance. While Dwayne Wade had 23 points on 17 shot attempts, a team high usage as the Heat get the victory by 1 point. Obviously, something that they desperately needed to keep themselves in the playoff discussion. The San Antonio Spurs with a big win over the Denver Nuggets, 104-103. Nikola Jokic had 22, 10 and 6 for the Nuggets, while the Blue Arrow Jamal Murray struggled a little bit but ended really hot to end this game. 25, 2 and 8 with 6 triples. Isaiah Thomas, he just needs to be out of this rotation. I think when we get to the playoffs, he will be, but he is really hurting guys like Monty Morris. 7 points for Thomas on 11 shots with 2 assists and a steal. Still rostered in 37% of leagues for God knows what reason. While Gaz Harris,
nice, Gary!
Unfortunately, it's not so nice for him. I think we move on from him in 12-team formats again. We just don't have the patience to wait. 8 points in 27 minutes. And I like Harris, but it's been a complete waste of a season. Farton Will Barton was okay, but definitely not at the highs that he was a couple of games ago. 12-6 in his 32 minutes, while Malik Beasley did well, shot well. But again, it's hard to rely upon that level of performance from Malik. For the Spurs, DeMar DeRozan was good, 24-6-7 with 3 steals, while my man Derek White, 11-4-9, 1 steal, 3 blocks, and shot poorly. He is absolutely 100% a must-roster guy across every league. You don't look at White as, oh, he's a fringe guy. He is a top 50, top 60 type of a player, I think, for the rest of the season. Really crushing it. Jakob Poeltl started, and I didn't mention this the other day, but a lot of people with the Pau Gasol news that he was bought out by the Spurs and signing with the Bucks. Oh, yeah, Gasol's gone now, so we've got to go and add Poeltl. Prior to Gasol being waived, Gasol had played 5 minutes in 5 games. So losing Gasol doesn't mean that Poeltl's all of a sudden going to play these big minutes. I saw it written somewhere, oh, that now that Gasol's gone, Poeltl's moved into the starting line. Like, nothing to do with Gasol, because Gasol wasn't starting, and he literally wasn't even playing. Now, Poeltl had come off two pretty strong games, which tied in with the absence or the waiving of Gasol, so naturally some people put two and two together, but I don't think it's got anything to do with Gasol being waived that Poeltl played well here. He started again and had 6 points in 18 minutes. He is not a must-roster guy. He's not even a high-priority add or see-how-it-goes type of situation, because it just is going to depend on how the Spurs want to play and how their opponents look. Rudy Gay looked good here, 28 minutes, 14, 9, and 4 with 2 blocks. That's why we hold him in 12-team as well. Aldridge had 22 and 9, and Bryn Forbes was pretty piss-poor once more. 7 points in 22 minutes for Forbesy. Let's go on to the next game. We're looking at the New Orleans Pelicans 115, the Jazz 112. A very, very disappointing loss for the Jazz. Anthony Davis was great in his 22 minutes, and the farce continues. 15 and 11 with 3 assists, 3 steals, and 3 blocks. So you're pretty happy with that result if you do have Davis, because at this point you can't drop him. You can't do anything. He's just lost your number 2 or number 3 ranked player and turned him into the 20th ranked player, which is hard to come back from. Julius Randle had 30 and 8 with 5 assists, while Holiday, again, the minutes limit, just complete bullshit. 32 minutes, 30 points with 4 threes, and Lord Alfred Payton had 10, 4, and 6 with a steal and a block, and he is a pretty strong 12-team league guy. Cheick Diallo, unfortunately, just the 17 minutes, some foul trouble, but wasn't able to take full advantage of the absence of Jahlil Okafor. We like what he does when Davis sits out, but I don't think there's enough value for him to be a 12-team league guy. For the Jazz, Derek Favors scored well, but the minutes were down. 16 points in 24 minutes, 2 blocks. He does really fill a specific role for a fantasy team, and it might work perfectly for your team. But if he's on the wire, it doesn't mean that he's a 100% must-add. You've got to see if it makes sense for you. Crowder also stepped up here. 20 points in 32 minutes with 4 threes. Again, more of a streamer. Kyle Korver, another big shooting night. 5 triples for 20 points for Korver. 29 minutes for him, really taking a lot of Raul Neto's minutes, who's out with that issue at the moment. Korver is a 3-point streamer, probably behind guys like Wayne Ellington or Reggie Bullock or Landry Shamet, but yeah, that's some pretty big 3-point. I think that's 11 threes in 2 of his last 3 games, and it can really help you in that area. The Donovan Mitchell did really struggle here.
He's Don. He's good.
19 points on 24 shots, but the 9 assists are nice, while ravishing Rick Rubio, still struggling after that hamstring. 26 minutes, 3 points, but the 8 assists and 2 steals ended up being not too bad for Rick there. The Phoenix Suns sweep the Milwaukee Bucks. What a surprise that is. 114-105, the Suns win. Yanni had 21, 13, and 6, while Brogdon and Bledsoe both returned from a one-game absence. They were pretty okay. There, while Nikola Mirotic had 13 and 7, 3 threes, 1 steal, and 2 blocks. Now, he shot absolutely terribly, 3 of 14, but imagine if he did shoot at least decently. We're talking about 20 and 7 with 3 triples, a steal, and 2 blocks. He is a must-roster 12-team league guy, in my opinion. It was a poor Brook Lopez night, and it was a dreadful Chris Middleton night. 1 of 13 from the field for Middleton, 7 rebounds, 4 assists, and a steal. So again, he shoots normally, and he goes, say, 6 of 7 from the field. That's 16, 7, and 4, and it looks a lot better. So it is really a shooting anomaly there. Pau Gasol played 5 minutes in his Bucks debut, did not affect Mirotic, did not affect Brook Lopez, and he's not going to be any sort of fantasy option, Pau Gasol. For the Suns, Tyler Johnson had 2 turds in a row, but was really good here. 13, 4, and 4 with 4 steals. He's a fringe 12-teamer. Devin Booker, 22, 5, and 7. 8 and double-doubled, while Kelly Oubre had 27 and 13, as well as throwing in 3 blocks and 17 free throw attempts for Kelly Oubre. An astonishingly large amount of free throws. Unfortunately, he only hit 12 of them, so it was actually a really big drag in that category, but he has been strong. TJ Warren returning could have an impact on him, but he still is a 12-team league guy. Curiously, De'Anthony Melton 100% out of the rotation so that Jamal Crawford could come in and Troy Daniels could play 6 minutes. Got no idea why that would be the case, but the Suns got a meaningless victory, so shout out to them. Well, Dragan Bender remained starting and went scoreless in his 12 minutes, although he did have a pretty good net rating in his time on the court. Josh Jackson and McCall Bridges, probably not 12-team league guys. The New York Knicks lost to the Sacramento Kings 115-108. Mitchell Robinson, only 19 minutes and he fouled out. The foul trouble returned, but again, still confusing coaching from Fizdale. Now, he makes the argument, I want to leave him on the bench so he can stay out of foul trouble. All right, cool. But at some point, you just got to see what he can do in the starting lineup. Also, in the first half, he played 7 minutes and had 2 fouls. And while 2 fouls in 7 minutes isn't good, He didn't have three fouls. He didn't have four fouls. Let him try and play through it. Still is a must-roster guy, 100% from the field, two blocks and seven rebounds. That's still valuable enough. And when he has these shit nights, the value is still there for Robinson, who's a top 10 guy over the last 2 weeks. But just, again, frustrating coaching. We had Luke Kornet, who 2 games ago was a DMP CD, played 26 minutes as a starter, had 7 points with a block. I'm not getting any interest in him whatsoever because literally in a week's time, he'll probably be back out of the rotation. Henry Allenson, who'd been playing in mid-20s in minutes, back down to 17. And Emmanuel Mudiay, who outplayed Dennis Smith in terms of playing time last game, didn't even see 20 minutes yet. Again, no predictability, no consistency, nothing with this team. Alonzo Trier was big, 29 points in 30 minutes, 50% shooting, excellent, 15 free throw attempts, although hitting just 10 is a real negative. But of course, he'll likely play 20 minutes in the next game and have 7 points. He's an interesting 16-team league guy, maybe a 14-team league streamer, but consistency is a word that David Fizdale probably hasn't read the definition to. The Fort, Kevin Knox, had 11 points in 21 minutes, and his minutes are being seriously reduced lately. Cannot really get to 30 minutes at all. They're not playing him the big minutes, because when you've got two pieces who are the key parts of your future in Knox and Robinson, you've got to do everything you possibly can to limit their playing time and limit their exposure. That's obviously coaching 101. For the Kings, Budrick Hield was great. 28, 6 and 7, 3 threes, 2 steals and a block, while the pencil Harrison Barnes had a real strong one. 22 and 10 with 3 triples, of course. He had 1 assist, 0 steals and 0 blocks, and on nights when he shoots well, all looks good. And when the shot isn't there, it looks dreadful, and that's pretty much the Harrison Barnes story. He's a fringe 12-team league guy with much more value in points leagues and category leagues, and this is a positive, no doubt, but it won't happen every night. Harry Giles was ejected. Before that, he was putting the finishing touches on a career night, 17 and 7 in 22 minutes, but 78% shooting, unrealistic, 29% usage, unrealistic. Willie Cauley-Stein is not that good. He had 9 and 7 in 26 minutes, and I've been talking about his minutes being reduced for quite a while before the Bagley injury, and we saw him go back up after Marvin went down. But Cauley-Stein, I don't think, is going to be on this team next season, and he 100% should not be starting for them. So Giles is interesting to watch in those 16-teamers, maybe 14-teamers. He was going to be pushing towards a big night here, but go back to last game and have a look how little Harry Giles actually played, you can't have a huge amount of trust there. Bielitsa for deeper leagues while Bagley's out, 24 minutes, 8, 5, and 5. That's at least somewhat interesting. While Bogdanović played 37 minutes and had 11 points, 2 triples, 2 steals, and a block, and remained a must-roster 12-team league guy, in my opinion. Not sure if we're putting the nail in the Lakers' coffin, but I think we should. The Clippers beat them 113-105. The Rooster had 23 and 6, Danilo Gallinari, while Gildas Alexander looks strong again. 14 points, 4 assists, and 2 blocks for Shea. The 24 minutes are frustrating, no doubt, but he's providing at least enough value to be of use in 14-team leagues. Landry Shamet hit another 3 triples for 12 points, again more of a streamer and a 14-team league guy. Well, Ivica Zubac's revenge game went well, 7-4 in 14 minutes for him, while the table Montrezl Harrell had 14-11-5 and played 34 minutes. For the Lakers, Rajon Rondo, 38 minutes, and that's because Brandon Ingram was out, and then we had later on Kyle Kuzma go down. Rondo had a triple-double, 24, 10, and 12. Great for fantasy purposes. Still don't think he's anything near a positive on the court. And hit 4 triples. For now that, you know, these injuries are here, you have to roster Rondo, but I don't think that he's a winning contributor for this team. Well, LeBron had 27, 8, and 6. And Josh the Hitman Hart returned as well, 17 and 4 in 30 minutes. Yeah, maybe he's going to be pushed into extra time if Kuzma is out, and it does look like Kuzma will miss on Wednesday, although Brandon Ingram should return, but I'm not really putting a great amount of trust in Hart to really provide value, especially on a high-volume Wednesday. As for Kuzma, struggled, 13 points on 15 shots, and then sprained his ankle late and seems unlikely to be ready to go on Wednesday. Mike Muscala had 6 points in 15 minutes in one of the, again, just highlighting again, one of the worst trades of all time that Lakers front office did. And so much blame needs to go to this front office for this, you know, really piss poor performance from this team all season. We talked about it so much in the off season about how poorly constructed this roster was, and we see it play out time after time again. And, you know, Walton's definitely not blameless. The players aren't blameless. Walton makes confusingly bad rotation decisions all the time. JaVale McGee did return to the starting lineup, played only 13 minutes as they went without a center for big stretches of this game once again. 7-3 with two blocks. I think we're getting to McGee as being really just a blocks streamer at this point. He might have to play 20 plus minutes with Kuzma out next game. That's a real possibility because Kuzma is that guy that uses the small ball five. And if he is sidelined, then it's going to be harder to do that quite clearly. So you might get value out of JaVale, but again, I'd much rather have Dwight Powell or Derek White or Patrick Beverley over what McGee is doing and the way that he is currently being utilized. That wraps it up for all of those games across the NBA on Monday. Let's talk some DFS now for Tuesday. We'll start, of course, with the perfect lineups for Monday. On DraftKings, Rondo, Oubre, Damari Carroll, Julius Randle, Tone Davis, Alonzo Trier, Bud Heald, and DeMar DeRozan for a total of $396.25, and that cost just $49,000. On FanDuel, Tyler Johnson, Rajon Rondo, Heald, Trier, Carroll, Oubre, Randle, Tone Davis, and DeAndre Ayton for a total of $388.9, and that cost $59,800. All right, guys, let's look at DFS action for Tuesday. Just the six games on. We're going to be focusing mainly on FanDuel pricing today. No back-to-backs across this entire slate. The first game we look at, actually, really few spreads and totals out, actually, for these games at this point. The Magic taking on the Philadelphia 76ers in Philadelphia. No spread or total for this one. Joel Embiid is sidelined again. Jimmy Butler is likely to play. He's not on the injury report, but Jonah Bolden is questionable, as is Amir Johnson, which would make the center stocks in Philadelphia really low. Maybe we see actual minutes from Justin Patton. You're going to see a shitload from Prison Mike Scott, if both of those guys happen to be sidelined. So a lot of options there that could, or some real value that could open up there in Philadelphia. Do we see Tobias Harris at center minutes? That's a possibility as well, I guess, with Philadelphia. At point guard, Benny Simmons is at $9,900 on FanDuel. He had 60 last game in 41 minutes. I think with the potential option, well, Embiid out, it does help Simmons. I don't mind him as an option here. He's not an absolute lock or anything along those lines, but there's some value. $3,700 for Timothy John McConnell. There was a chance that maybe Butler could have sat this one out, but it looks like he will play. But if they do have to go really small, maybe McConnell's playing some extra minutes. I still don't like him significantly. Well, DJ Augustin at $5,100. He had 31 last game. He's a little bit inconsistent, and the Sixers are quite good in terms of matching up against opposition point guards. So I'm not totally sold on using him. I do like Terry Ross at $5,000. He had just 7 points last game. Historically, he's shown an ability to bounce back. The salary's dropped down. You should feel pretty good about him getting close to that 25-point mark and pushing above that. So I like Terrence Ross there. Well, General Saunders at $8,400 for Jimmy Butler. Another 40-point game from him shouldn't be a massive stretch, and he can push to 50-55 in this one. Some value with him. Evan Fournier, yeah, not really liking that. I do like Johnny Isaac at $5,600, who's been lean the last couple of games, but we know, especially for tournaments, his ability to put up steal and block numbers in bunches can really push him into the 35-40 point range. And then you've got JJ Redick at $5,700, who's been really struggling but has thrived against his former team, averaging 31.5 the last three times out against Orlando. He could have some extra value, but not a guy I'm really looking to lock in cash. At power forward, Jonah Bolden's at $4,300. Now, if Bolden plays, I like him. If he doesn't, of course, I don't like him. That should go without saying. While Prison Mike at $4,500 is in a decent spot as it is, but if one of Amir or Jonah Bolden is sidelined, then Prison Mike gets a real bump in value even for cash. Aaron Gordon's at $7,100. I like him quite a bit. Even in a poor performance, I think he can get 30 here. I think he can push to 40. He's actually averaged 40 against the Sixers the last three times out. So he is worth looking at. While Nikola Vucevic at $10,500, we know that he's rolling. He's averaging almost 54 points over his last five games. Everything is going through him without Embiid. It is a real positive matchup for opposition center, so Vooch is absolutely a play here for cash and for tournament scenarios. On DraftKings, we've got Simmons at $8,400, I like a lot. Prison Mike, Vooch at $9,200, Johnny Isaac at $51, and JJ Redick at $4,800 value in all of those players. General Saunders at $71 also looks pretty good over on DraftKings. The next game we look at is the Chicago Bulls taking on the Indiana Pacers. The Pacers here are favored by 8 and the total is 219.5. DeMontis Sabonis has been ruled out, while Otto Porter missed the last game for the Bulls, but he is likely to return. He was just resting in that previous game. At point guard, Dazza Collison, 7,400. He had 39 last game. I think, you know, mid-30s is realistic for Collison, so there's some decent enough cash value. Well, Chris Dunn, I like that salary for him on FanDuel, 5,800. Getting 30 out of Dunn shouldn't be considered extraordinarily tough. It is a tough matchup. Point guards have struggled against the Pacers pretty much all season, and Dunn is not the best of point guards, but I think that he can at least get to that 30-point mark, and he's averaged 34 points in 34 minutes the last three times out against Indiana. Archer Jackineau, Shaq Harrison, very little to see with those guys. Wesley Matthews is at 51. I'm not really sure that his upside is all that high. But he is an option at that 5,100, especially for cash with some solid value. Well, Levine at 8,000, prior to last game, had been putting up really good numbers, so no reason, I don't think, to go back to him. At small forward, Tyreek, not interested. Bojan Bogdanović, very interested. Really been excellent this season, Bogdanović. 6,500, he has cash and he has tournament value. Well, Otto Porter at 7,400, that's a big price for Porter. But he had a 49-point game the last time. Yeah, it was a triple overtime one against the Hawks. But 35 from him, I don't think that should be considered too much of a reach. So I think he's an option without being the best option. Thad Young's at 7,000. I also like what he's doing. We know big men against the Bulls can put up relatively consistent numbers or relatively big numbers. So he is an option for sure there at that price point and with the matchup against the Bulls there. Well, Markkanen at 9,100, maybe just pushing it a little bit too far in what I would consider somewhat of a negative matchup against the Pacers. At center, Miles Turner, 7,500. Bulls centers, we love going up against them. Turner has struggled a little bit, but I really like his tournament upside. This could have a 50-point upside situation here for Turner. While the cock monster, Kylo Quinn, has been struggling, but I think you always got to at least consider him in tournament pools, especially when you go up against Chicago. As for Robin Lopez at 5,500, I like his cash floor. He's averaging 31 over the last five, and on FanDuel, you get 31 at 5,500. That's really, really hard to go past. On DraftKings, Collison looks great. Look fantastic at 5,500. That is almost a must-roster guy. Same as Miles Turner at 57, 41 for Wes Matthews, and 56 for Boyan. There is value right across the board there. The 59 for Thad Young also looks pretty good, and Markkanen and Levine come in much stronger positions on DraftKings than I do on FanDuel. But that Collison-Turner combination looks very, very strong over on DraftKings. Next up, we've got Houston and Toronto. The Raptors are 3.5-point favorites, a total 228. We expect the fun guy, Kawhi Leonard, to return.
I'm a fun guy.
He was managing his load last game, so he should be ready to return to the lineup here. That'll push Jeremy Lin to the bench. He's at 3,900. Linny, don't think we get too interested there. Chris Paul's at 8,700, has been very, very strong lately. Look, I'm not super into him here as a cash option. He does have 50-point upside pretty clearly, so that's a tournament play. Well, 8,500 for Lowry with Kawhi back against Houston probably makes me fade Kyle at that sort of a salary. Dan Green's at 41. He's only just a GPP guy. Same as Eric Gordon, who is coming off a 43-point performance against Boston, but Gordon is not that consistent of a player, more of a tournament guy. Jimmy Harden, 12,100. Really been strong the last couple, averaging 69 points.
Giggity!
Over the last three games, and at 12,100, that's strong. Now, the Raptors are really good at limiting opposition shooting guard performances. Harden average of just 51 against the Raptors. Of course, you know, those games are coming from last season. I think you look at Harden as a tournament guy, but not really a cash guy. I like Kawhi down at 9,700 here. Should be able to approach at least close to that 50-point mark and really interested in utilizing him. Norm Powell, Gerald Green, the Jedi, probably not for any of them. Siakam's at 76. He's just a consistent 35-point guy, which is really, really strong cash value. PJ Tucker, Serge Ibaka, yes. Ibaka off the bench, 4,700. That's a $1,100 price drop for Serge, but he's only averaging 19 minutes a game over the last three. So I'm going to look at him as a tournament guy because the matchup could suit him against Houston, but the trend is definitely not working in Ibaka's favor. Fareed is a pretty strong fade. Marc Gasol at 6,600, that's a price rise, so hard to use him in cash. And there is that risk that maybe the matchup against Houston isn't really in his favor, but I'm not totally against it just for tournaments. Capella struggling, and I think the 7,600 is too high for big old Clint. On DraftKings, Gasol at 57, again, more that tournament value, but I like Siakam, I like Leonard a lot for cash. Lowry is in a much more favorable scenario on DraftKings at 73, and same with Chris Paul at 77, and I love Jim Harden at 11-1, really hard to go past Jimmy at that sort of a salary. Next up, we've got the Blazers and the Grizzlies. No spread or total at this point. Avery Bradley, the guy that's really been crushing it. Last game, there was no Mike Conley, who was out for general soreness. Avery Bradley's listed probably here with a wrist issue, while Ivan Rabb is questionable. I have no idea how they're even going to use Rabb in terms of their rotation. He allegedly was healthy for last game and then didn't see the court at all. But now that he's listed questionable, maybe his ankle was flaring up. For Portland, Evan Turner's missed the last few games with a knee issue. He is probable to return, which could have an impact on Flaming Mo Harkless or on Jake Layman. At point guard, Lillard's at 9,400. Love that salary for Lillard. Yeah, some pretty strong numbers as one of the high-priced guys. Interested in using him here. Conley's at 8,100. Probably a little bit too high in what could end up being a blowout. And the Blazers are a team that does limit opposition point guard production. CJ McCollum at 7,300 and Justin Holiday, he's at 3,900. The two shooting guards, both with GPP value, but you just can't trust them for cash. Holiday has been absolutely atrocious since joining Memphis. He's averaging 14 points over the last five, but with Kyle Anderson and Triple J, Jaren Jackson Jr. still sidelined, he's going to have an opportunity, but he just does absolutely jack shit with him. And DeLon Wright should be getting literally all of those minutes. As for DeLon, he dropped 44 last game with Conley out. He's at 5,100. There's a chance he gets 25 regardless of if Conley plays, because he should be getting those minutes over a Holiday. I'm not sure that he will. Probably hard to rely there. While Avery Bradley all the way up to 5,900, because he's putting up huge numbers. Now, I think there's legitimate crash potential here for Bradley, but he's also not someone I'm completely steering clear of. But that 5,900, it feels like it's just too high. Caboclo at 4,300 started the last couple, realistically just a tournament guy, while Layman, Hood, Miles, Parsons, Turner, a whole bunch of bullshit at small forward from those guys. At power forward, the Chief, Al-Farouq Aminu.
Sometimes it may be good, sometimes it may be shit.
He's at 5,100. Realistically, his floor has been pretty solid. A lower score of just 21 over the last five. He's got 35-point upside, and the matchup is not a terrible one for Aminu. Realistically, though, I'm just looking for tournaments. At center, Nurkic is killing it. He's at 8,300. I like this spot for him, while Jonas Valanciunas is up to 7,900. Actually, with him, his floor is pretty strong at the moment, JV, so I like both those guys. I would take Nurkic over JV. Cantor's at 4,700. Really don't see him getting enough playing time. Or Joakim Noah at 5,500. Yeah, again, not a priority guy, not a guy that I'm really overly interested in. On DraftKings, Aminu, Lillard, Bradley, love the prices for all of those guys. Nurkic at 7,000 feels like an absolute lock. Mo Harkless at 4,000's got some upside. Valanciunas at 67, massive value as well. Even CJ McCollum at 6,000, there's great tournament upside for Siege. But for cash, yeah, look, he's just been so wildly inconsistent. But we have to remember, this is a guy, McCollum, who has lit the Grizzlies on fire, averaging 39 the last three times against Memphis. Are we going to go back to that? Yeah, look, that's a possibility, and that's why I think you got to have him in your tournament player pools. The next game we look at, another game with no spread or total, the Oklahoma City Thunder at the Minnesota Timberwolves. Paul George has been ruled out, or he's been listed as out. That could all obviously change, but at this point we're assuming he's not playing. While Luol Deng is questionable, Bob Cove has also been ruled out for the Minnesota Timberwolves. At point guard, Jeff Teague.
My name is Jeff.
He's at 6,300, not keen. Russell Westbrook, 11,400. I am interested in Russ. Now, Russ's last couple of games haven't been good, averaging just 48 over the last five on FanDuel, which isn't really enough at 11,400. But I do think this is a strong matchup for him. While Derrick Rose at 56 is a GPP guy who has done very well against OKC the last few games. I think from memory, he had that 50-point game against the Thunder earlier this season. He is a pretty good GPP guy. Dennis Schroeder should be getting another start. Love Schroeder here. 5,600 for Dennis. He had 46 last game. Massive usage, massive minutes bump with Paul George out. Ferguson, Wiggins, yeah, realistically, we're just looking at them at tournament guys, and Ferguson's doing a whole bunch of absolutely nothing at the moment. At small forward, there's nobody I have any interest in whatsoever. At power forward, you've got Dario Saric at 45, who's been absolutely atrocious, so I'm not keen there. Well, Jeremy Grant, I think limited upside for Granny at $6,000, but for cash, he's around that 28, 29 guy most nights, and there is some value in that, at least for cash. Taj Gibson also coming off a string of good games at 4,800. I have a tough time relying upon him, though. Averaging 27 over the last three in 18 minutes, that feels like an unrealistic amount of scoring. Townsend's at 11.5, love what he is doing. Now, Stephen Adams has really owned him in the past and gotten him into some foul trouble, but I do like Towns here. Well, Adams at 6,800 also, putting together some nice numbers, averaging 38 over the last three. I think he is in play, but he's not at the highest of priority guys. On DraftKings, you love Schroeder at 55. Teague at 53 has got some GPP value. I think Saric we have to consider on DraftKings just because he comes in at 3,900 and he should be getting 22 to 23 with 30-point upside. Westbrook, Towns and Rose also come in relatively strong on DraftKings. Let's go to the last game of the night. It's the Boston Celtics taking on the Golden State Warriors. No spread or total here either. This could be a blowout given the way that Boston is playing. Klay Thompson is questionable. Andre Iguodala also questionable at this point. Alphonso McKinney is probable, who would be an option if Iguodala does sit to get those minutes. And Klay Thompson, we saw Damian Lee absorb a lot of his playing time last game. At point guard, Kyrie's at 9,400. I think he's good for 45 here, which makes him a relatively solid option. While Steph at 94, also good there. If I had to choose between those two guys, identical prices, I would take Kyrie over Steph. Rozier, Cook, Livingston, not really getting into those guys. Klay is at 7,400. I think I'd fade him. Jaylen Brown at 5,000. Brown's been playing pretty well, but we know it doesn't normally translate into good DFS numbers. While Marcus Smart has been putting up good numbers, averaging 30 over his last three, he's at 5,600. He's probably more of a GPP guy, although those numbers would make you think that there is some cash value. I like Durant at 97. The floor for him is absolutely rock solid, and 65, 70-point upside, cash and tournaments for KD. Haywood is a pretty strong fade, in my opinion. I like Draymond at 65, who's averaging 40 his last three against Boston. That's a solid price for Green, so I'm into him. Marcus Morris and Jason Tatum, not so much. And at center, Boogie's at 8,700. He's been getting 40 a night, averaging 44 over his last five. And at 8,700, it's not far off, but I think we still look at him more as a tournament guy than cash. While Al Horford at 7,200 actually averages 39 the last three times against Golden State, which would be perfect at 7,200. In a little bit of a slump at the moment, but I do like him in a positive matchup as a GPP guy. On DraftKings, Cousins at 8,000, I like. Green at 56, I absolutely love. Durant, Irving, Curry, all of those guys have pretty strong value right across the board. Let's go into some studs and values on DraftKings. Lillard is my stud, and my value play is Darren Collison, with, of course, Dennis Schroeder thrown in there as well. On FanDuel, we've got Kawhi as my stud, and my value play is Draymond. On Yahoo, my stud is Lillard, and my value play is Prison Mike. And on DraftStars, my stud is Kawhi, and my value play is Dennis Schroeder. That'll wrap it up for today. Make sure you guys use your smart device. When you're in your car, get your smart device to play your favorite Locked On podcast, your second favorite after this one, of course, but just by telling your smart device to play the podcast Locked On and say the name here. Follow me on Twitter at @RedRock_Beeble and on Instagram at Locked On Fantasy Basketball and the network at Locked On NBA Net on both of those social media platforms. Guys, we are done here. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. See ya. Tyler Lydon.